B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boom.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
What would the motivation be for the players to vote yes yesterday, assuming Rob Manfred puts in a 60-game schedule, as it appears he will? What would have been the motivation to vote yes for players yesterday?
It's a good question, because, I mean, obviously it's overwhelming in the favor of no, and the reason for no is because the players want to still retain the right to pursue legal action. So I don't know why a player would say, yeah, no, we're cool with waiving our right to pursue any legal action after all this. That seems misinformed to me. Like the ones that were opposed to it or in favor of it were, it just seems misinformed.
So the players voted against the Major League proposal 33-5, and it should have been 38-0. I guess it should have been 38-0. Jared Karabas, Barstool Sports, on earlier with Zolak and Bertrand. Felger Maz coming to you here on Tuesday, June 23rd. Felger and Murray here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Maz on remote. How you doing, Anthony?
Good, you?
Just peachy. Thank you so much. You sound like ass.
Yeah, what's going on there?
You just sound
great.
You just don't sound good. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Good. Hi.
Okay. Either way, it's usually just in our ears. If you're listening on the radio, in your car, on your smartphone, whatever, you usually can't hear what we hear. So, Maz, your reaction to where baseball stands today. Go ahead.
So, I think the exact opposite of Karabas. To me, the question is, what reason was there to vote against it? What was the logic to vote against it? Just to preserve the right to litigate?
Well, that's what
that's
he said.
It.
Yeah,
the players would have gotten more money in this thing had they actually voted on the offer to accept the offer. Like, so to me, I think everybody's got it asked backwards at this stage. Given where they are, why would you vote against this?
So I see what's going on. I'm sorry. You have a new microphone setup.
I do.
You've got a new situation. So that's it. So he's got a he's amplified Murray. He's
the mic he was using was not technologically advanced enough for Maz, so he had to get a futuristic mic.
It sounds like garbage, frankly. I think I hate the headsets, but you tell me, does this sound worse?
Well,
different.
I think it's different. I think ultimately it will be better because every time you have a take, I won't hear you doing this. But they had the guy! Futzing with your mic. I don't think there's as much futzing possible with that.
There'll be less futzing. I can promise you that.
Less fidgety.
Less fidgety. No. But what's that? You know, what has Howard Stern got? What's the like
OCD?
Compression. There's more compression there with the mic. Either way, I'm sorry, Maz. I'm sorry. Why do you think they all should have voted for it? I mean,
because at this stage, Mike, what are you voting against? What were the alternatives? The alternatives were going to be a 60-game schedule either way. So I just look at it and I say the players didn't really have anywhere to go at this point. We're up against the wall. Like, just accept it and leave open the possibility that in an expanded playoff, she'll make more money. And that if it works out right, there'll be a chance to make more money next postseason, too.
So I was going to say, they actually left a little money on the table when you consider the postseason, the expanded postseason that they would have had and would have had a split of. So they actually left some dollars on the table because they felt it was so valuable to preserve their right to file a grievance or just show unity, or, you know, obviously, voting no wasn't about grabbing the last dollar because they actually left money on the table by voting no. So there's ulterior motives there. The question is, what's the value of those ulterior motives?
Yeah, the ulterior motive was they get to give the owners the finger. That's the ulterior motive. There is no other ulterior motive. There's a labor war on the horizon, and that is imminent. And I think that the players' union decided, with a labor war looming, the last thing we're going to do is let the owners think that we agree with them. So we're going to tell them to pound sand because we're going to end up with 60 or 65 games no matter what. And at this stage, given the shutdown of a couple of camps and because of the resurgence of the virus in Florida, they were really pushed towards 60. It's the last offer that MLB made to them. So they said, well, we can play 60 games by agreeing or 60 games by not agreeing. really. And so the only difference is that if we agree, we'll get more money in the playoffs. So let's disagree just to tell them to go to hell. That's how, I mean, to me, that's how I looked at it.
Okay, Buster only tweeted yesterday when this all went down. The dominoes are now likely set to tumble. One, implementation of a short season by MLB. Two, some players choosing not to play. Three, a players association grievance. Four, upcoming free agents get destroyed in the market. Five, all major labor issues merely deferred to next spring. Mutually assured destruction is what he writes. And do you generally agree with those five steps, or, and this is where they're at, and this is what we're looking at?
Oh, I think that's pretty much where we're headed, yeah. I do. I again, I think this was about 2021 and not about 2020. I think the players wanted to make it clear to ownership that even though this is where we're at and the right thing to do is say yes, we're going to say no just to give you the finger.
But so after all of this mess, this last couple of months of bitching back and forth, and I think the players have done themselves a grave disservice with the way that they talk, and I'll never be able to get that Blake Snell audio out of my head. And like most people, this was all just posturing, and now they're just going to roll over and take it?
No, no, so it's not about rolling over and taking it. It's just about at this stage. How about doing something that makes people feel good? How about just doing something that makes everyone say, you know what, at the end of the day, we're going to say yes, because the last week we've actually tried to figure this thing out. And by the way, I'm not telling you the owners are the ones who are right in this thing, because I don't think the owners are right either. They clearly dragged their feet. They wanted to get it down to 65, 60 games. They succeeded at that. So maybe the players do have a right to litigate. I'm just saying that in the last week, I think there was an earnest effort on both sides to try to get this thing done. And then, because of some other factors, mostly relating to the pandemic, but in part because they dragged their feet, it got to this stage and they said, all right, well, you know what? We can accept or not accept, and we're really going to end up with the same thing. So let's not accept just to tell them to F off.
And you think that's absurd? You think that's biting your nose to spite your face? Is that
I just think, because I look at it again as I don't look, you know, I look at it as what does the fan get out of it? So it's one thing to say this is a battle between owners and players, which it is. But it's also a battle between the sport and its fan base. And I would like to think the second thing at a moment like this outweighs the first. And after all the crap that has gone on this spring, and there has been a lot of it, mostly from the players and the owners bitching about who's going to get the extra $250 million. That's what it was. While 40 million Americans are out of work and the world has been shut down, I thought, naively and stupidly, as it turns out, I thought there was a chance that at the end they would say, you know what, let's just do this for the good of the game and the good of the public in 2020. Let's just do the right thing. And then when this is all over and we have to go to war next spring, we'll go to war next spring. Look, for now, let's just let bygones be bygones. Water under the bridge. We hate each other. Neither side likes one another. We don't love where this has ended up, either one of us. But at a minimum, let's just try to do the right thing and move forward.
No shot.
Zero. Zero.
I mean, they were close. The difference between 60 and 70 games. They were a half a dozen games away. Okay? So they were definitely close, but they never came close to agreeing, right? I mean, so they never came close to actually signing despite how close they really were, which is just freaking embarrassing. You know,
it is embarrassing. I agree.
The whole thing is embarrassing. And I am pro-owner, and it's primarily because I think the game needs major, major changes, and I think the players are standing more in the way of those major changes than the owners. So I hold everything. So I side with the owners on everything because I want the players' union to get broken up and that players' group to get taken down, because I think that's the only shot I have to get my game back, is to knock those players down a peg. So I'm going to side with the owners on just about everything because I want to take down the players' union. So that's my rationale. Now, who deserves the money? I don't really care. I want the players' union busted, and I want this sport to evolve. And so that's my whole motivation. But, you know, there's another bigger picture thing while I'm, in favor of the owners. And this, I do not think the players are worth the money. I don't. I don't think the players drive this sport. And so, look, are they entitled to 50-50 of the revenues? Like, I mean, that's a different argument than just big picture, macro, looking at it. I don't think the players drive this sport. I don't think the players are why we watch baseball. The players are why we watch every other sport. The star power in the NBA drives the game. And if the NFL lost their players and went to replacements, and the star power, the athleticism, and the brilliance of those players drives the NFL, and hockey, to a lesser extent, is driven by the stars and the players on the ice. Baseball, it's something to do because you got sick of taking your kids to the zoo. It's a Tuesday night in July, and, well, what are we going to do now? All right, well, let's take them to the ballgame. Or it's a Tuesday night in July, and there's nothing else on, so the Red Sox are on the TV, and that's why Nesson's ratings are good.
It's wallpaper.
It's not driven by the players. The game is not driven by the players, as we've proven here on this show with our extensive scientific exercises. You don't even know who the players are anymore. You don't even know who the star players are anymore. You don't know who the league leaders are anymore unless you play fantasy with Stu. Otherwise, it's nameless, faceless. It's just on because it's that time of year and it's baseball and it's that kind of sport. The players don't drive the sport. If they just wiped out all the stars and went to replacements and AAA players, would the game suffer? Of course. Of course it would suffer. It wouldn't be the same, but it wouldn't completely devastate the sport like the other ones. It wouldn't. You'd still go on a Tuesday night to Fenway because what the hell else are you going to do? And that's the sport. And the players don't get it. The players don't get it, so I side ownership on this one. But here's the question, Maz. This whole thing, this whole dance, this whole painful dance, just to get to, you know, just to not have an agreement, and basically not have an agreement, has turned so many people off. It has pissed people off and turned them off. My question is, at the end of the day, you always come back and watch the thing. You always come back and forgive the sport and watch it. You know, we say it all the time. I'll never watch it again. You say it on, you know, for every sport, for something that pisses you off. The guys take the knee in football. I'm not watching that anymore because of those guys you watch. Or the hockey or basketball has a strike or a labor stoppage, or they do something that pisses you off. I'm not going to watch them anymore. And you watch. You always forgive and you always watch. Is the same thing going to happen here? Is the same thing going to happen here, Maz? Are people going to forgive and watch baseball again when it comes back?
They're going to lose some people this time. I don't know what percentage, but they lost some in 94, Mike. They lost some in 94, and it took injecting the ball with steroids to get them back. So I think they're going to lose some people this time. They're certainly going to lose them to other sports, assuming basketball and hockey are ongoing, because people are going to have other things to watch that they haven't had in the past. And I think that, you know, the game was fading, and I don't want to say dying like overnight, but I think little by little, the game is deteriorating and it's fading away. And I think they're going to lose people in this case. And that whole thing of I'm never going to watch again, it's the equivalent of going out and getting so blasted that you vomit on the toilet then all night, and then the next morning, and you say, I will never drink again, and next Friday, you're out there pounding again. Okay, so a lot of those people will come back, but I do think there are going to be those select few this time around that say, you know what? I got other stuff to do now. I don't need it anymore, so see you later. They're going to get hurt by this.
Well, so that's my question for the audience. 617-779-0985. When a sport pisses us off, we always say, that's it. I'm not going to forgive them. I ain't watching. Is it real this time with baseball? Is it real when they start up July 24th? Is that the idea? I mean, they have a 5 o'clock deadline to answer to. The players have a 5 o'clock deadline today to answer to the owners on a couple things. If they don't answer by today, it'll be pushed back even more. But somewhere in that third, fourth week of July, they should be coming back. You going to watch this time, or is this the final straw? You going to forgive them again? You going to come back and watch even though you say you'll never do it again? Or is this time, do you mean it? Do you mean it this time? That's a question for you. Give us the answer at 617-779-0985.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Last second.
Felger and Maz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last second. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Maz.
I don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's literally all over the place. I've talked to dudes. Position players are more lax about it. There's been like an all-star MVP caliber player that's basically working out and preparing, like World Series game one is tomorrow. And then another one that is just as good. It's like, yeah, I haven't picked up a bat since they told us to go home in March. There's been pitchers that are like, yeah, like I'm throwing bullpens and like I could be stretched out right now to throw like 4 innings if the season started tomorrow. Like I'm throwing 2 innings, like sim games or whatever. And then there's guys that are just like, yeah, I'm kind of just exercising, but I'm not really throwing that much. And I think when that sort of happened, when pitchers were shutting it down, that was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago when it looked like the negotiations were going to hit such a halt that there would be no season whatsoever. So I don't know in terms of like where those certain guys are at now. Like, did they ramp it back up knowing that there is going to be a baseball season? But yeah, in terms of like players being prepared for a season to start and, you know, they're showing back up in a week or so, I mean, it depends. It really does depend on who you ask in terms of like who's busting it, trying to stay in playing shape, and who's just like, yeah, I'm just kind of sitting around like waiting for them to tell me where to show up.
Again, more from Karabas. That's the thing, too. Without an agreement with the players, you know, basically into this forced servitude, if you will, what's the quality of play? What's the buy-in? What's the investment going to be by the players? You know, and again, you know, Buster Olney's tweet. What's going to happen is MLB is going to unilaterally implement the short season. Some players are going to choose not to play. The PA is going to grieve the thing. Upcoming free agents are going to get destroyed in the market. Okay, there are going to be some outs for some players with some some special circumstances, whether it's pre-existing conditions or, you know, there has to be some exceptions. Those guys will bag. I think there's going to be some fake injuries to bag and not have to show up. I think guys are going to do that. I think that the upcoming free agents are going to be completely uninvested and pissed off, if not the whole player body. There's going to be players, Maz, who aren't even going to get paid because haven't they already received a salary advance? And the actual stipend that they're going to get now for this third of a season is less or, you know, basically equal to what they've already received as an advance. Isn't that right?
So that might be right, yes. I mean, again, it was about $5 million a team that they gave to players in the early part of the year. And so, you know, I'm telling you, the fact that the players didn't accept this, to me, in a lot of ways, was dumb. Now, again, I said yesterday I thought they would, you know, you asked me what I think was going to happen. I said they'll accept. I admit it was wishful thinking, totally wishful thinking. They overwhelmingly rejected just because they could.
Right. And again, they left money on the table in the process. I think there would have been salary forgiveness. So, again, so that segment of players, what I mean, salary forgiveness, I think they would have the advance they would have forgiven. So they would have. So those minimum salary players who are basically going to come back and play for nothing would have actually played for a little something.
Correct. There was salary forgiveness in that deal. That's exactly right.
On those advances. So, again, you just add all up. Guys who are going to collect no checks, guys who are free agents and have just gotten porked, guys who have an excuse to get out of the thing, you know. I just think the whole thing, I think it's going to be guys just going through the motions or bagging out.
And yeah, the buy-in, it's not going to be 100%. No way. Not after this battle that they've held here the last few months.
Right? So, I mean, I think that's a whole other thing to consider. The question is, are you done with MLB, or is that just another idle threat? When they start playing again, you'll be there. I'll be there. I'll answer my own question. As much baseball bashing as we do, and as much as I want the sport to change, and as much as I need my game back, and all the things we say about it, when it's on July 24th, I'll be on. I'll be watching the Brewers on my app and the Red Sox on Nesson, and I'll be doing it. So I mean, I'll be back. Will you, Brian and Hudson, lead us off today? Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'll try and make this quick. I'm 35. I was raised on baseball. I played it in the streets every summer, every day. And I'm going to be honest. There was a time, especially when I was in college, I followed the Red Sox. I could name the top 10 players on every team. But I don't have time for this anymore, boys. I don't have time for four-hour games. I don't have time for all the switching. And, you know, my kids aren't into baseball. Nobody I know watches baseball. And I think this is kind of, for me, the straw that broke the camel's back. I'll hang up. I appreciate it, Maz. I love you.
Okay, Brian, let's see. You know, Maz, I think a lot of people are going to say that. Let's see what those ratings look like the first week. Let's see if they come back or if this really was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, look, but let's not be naive about it either, Mike. The landscape's different now. Things are going to change. There are going to be other things competing against the sport here when it comes back. That's assuming that the other sports come back. So I told you, I hope that baseball has real stiff competition. I hope that this is a crisis and that fans turn away from the game because that's the only way I think the sport will ever get better because right now the product sucks.
Brian in Haverhill, what do you got? I'm sorry, this is Brian in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Go ahead, Brian.
What's up, guys? I got nothing to say about baseball because they lost me 5 years ago. I don't watch the game to learn about launch angles. I got out of high school and didn't go to college because I was tired of learning stuff. So I'm just sick of what they're doing already. And now it's someone says, hey, I got tickets to a game tonight, I say, where are the seats? Not, oh, I'm ready to go. Let's do it. It's just not worth it anymore. I can't do it. I can't take it.
So they were losing you, Brian. Thanks for the call. And a lot of people before this even hit. The question is this a last straw, you know, straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing? Is this the way they've carried themselves, and I mean the game, players and owners, whichever one you side with, you know, but the whole confluence of it, in the middle of a pandemic and racial strife that we haven't seen in 40 years, you know, the whole condition of this country, and what they could have done and the opportunity they could have had to, you know, give people a little light at the end of the tunnel by just setting aside their bull crap and coming back and playing in the middle of it. It would have helped. Would have helped everybody. They couldn't even come close to doing it. Is that for you a deal breaker in the sport? Never mind the slow games and everything else and launch angles and things that we hate. Is the way they carried themselves the last couple months a deal breaker for you? Is that going to send you away from the game and never bring you back? That's the question. And it won't for me, because I'm a sports dog. I'm going to come back. I'm so horny for sports. Freaking, we watch anything. I got Serie A right there. I got the soccer match on right there on the TV. I'll watch anything. I'm desperate. But how about you?
Matt. So what percentage of people, if they, and again, I'm focused on the work stoppage here, okay? If they were to lose, what percentage of people would you say that's significant?
If they had a work stop, I mean, so I'm saying even if there's no work stoppage, if they come back and play this season, but even what they've done, even how they've carried themselves in this last
season. That's what I mean, because to me, that was effectively a work stoppage.
Yeah, like
that's how I treat it.
No, it's true. We just came through a work stoppage. It's not even officially done yet, frankly, but presuming they come back, I agree. That was a little bit of a work stoppage. They're going to lose 10%.
Okay, so I think 10% would be on the high side. I would even say if they lost half of that's significant. If they lost one out of every 20 fans that they had, significant. Significant. If there's 5% of the people that look at this and go, I'm not watching this year. I'm not watching. Screw them. They gave me the finger. I'm giving them the finger back. See you later. Go pound sand. 5%, too big a number for that sport to sacrifice right now.
John in Bridgewater. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, John. What do you got?
Nothing. Yeah, I was calling. I'm a fair weather baseball fan. I admit that. I usually just only turn in the playoffs, and every now and then I'll go to a game in the summertime. But I'm all set going back to Fenway and wasting my money at the park. I can't even fit in a seat. If you're over 6 feet, it's screwed. The place is a dump. If you go to any other city, go to Baltimore, go to the new Yankee Stadium. I don't understand why people have this place as a sacred holy grail. It's a dump.
Okay.
I can't stand the place.
Again, side topic. The question is, John, if baseball handled themselves with some grace and handled themselves with some gravitas, you know, thought of people other than themselves, came back early and was the only game in town, would you invest in the sport?
I would tune in, absolutely. I have nothing else to do when I get home. I'd probably lay a bet here and there. But other than that, I'd probably tune in for an inning, and I'd probably puke in my mouth again. Okay, and be like, John, why am I watching this guy?
The question is, and I'm going to cut you off. The question is how they carried themselves the last couple months going to be a deal breaker for you? You know, that thing I think I just asked, if they were the first game back in town and they did handle themselves and think of, you know, things other than themselves and, you know, sort of put themselves out there as we're going to do this because the world needs it, the country needs it, I think they would have gotten people back. I think they would have gained there. Even people who are pissed off with pace of play and the size of the seats at Fenway and all of that, I think they would have brought some people back if they were that league.
And look, even if it was just for the short term, so what?
Right.
Take it. I just look at it this way. There was an opportunity for the sport to give fans something. To give fans something instead of take all the time, because that's what the sport has done. It's taken your patience. It's taken your time. It's taken your money. It's taken all of those things, and they had a chance once for the first time in a long time to give you something as a fan. They had a chance, and they spit in your face.
Okay, that's the question. Are you done with baseball? Was this the straw that broke the camel's back for baseball? We'll continue to take your calls on this. I have a quick little 30-second Bruins minute for you as well. We'll do it all after Big Jim Murray's update.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Welker and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to your phones in a second. Are you going to forgive Major League Baseball again? Or is this it? Bruins minute. And in happier times and normal times, oh, what I would give Murray to return to normalcy, where all I had to worry about is when or if Tuukka Rask is going to crap his pants in the playoffs again. Yeah. Like a simpler time. When the biggest thing on my mind and the most important issue on our plate was if and when Tuukka Rask was going to poop himself in the playoffs.
And the Rask people really had a blah moment before the shutdown, too, because he iced out the Flyers, who were one of the hottest teams in the league at that time. I think he held them with a shutout, right?
There's a constant blanami going back and forth with the boo-hoo Tuukka crew. In simpler times, we could engage that. So why don't we go back to a simpler time and just pretend
I'm for that.
That there's not complete chaos in the streets and, you know, the apocalypse is not upon us. Simpler times. I heard this cut from Tuukka Rask yesterday. I heard it yesterday. I guess it posted 2 days ago, whenever it was. And I went, huh. So he did a Q&A with the Bruins for like a kid show or something. I don't know. Something like this.
Baby bees.
Something. Whatever it is. It was on Bruins.com, and it was a Q&A, him in his backyard, answering some questions from young fans. And the moderator, who, forgive me, I forget his name right now. But the moderator asked him a very simple question. When I heard it, I went, oh, go ahead, Jimmy.
What do these next couple weeks look like for you, Tukes, as the NHL eyes that July 10th Tukes marker for training camp?
Well, I guess I should probably start skating a little bit.
Stop. If we're gonna... Yeah, I guess I should maybe start skating again.
Oh, boy.
Like, oh. Simpler times, I could lose my mind on that. In simpler times, I could say, ow.
Well, why not now?
You think?
You don't have to necessarily lose your mind on it, but I think you're right to be irked by it. I'm irked by it.
It's just the tone. It's so him. And again, I am on record, I'm not coming off of it. If the Bruins get in that spot again, Rask is going to come through. Every dog has his day. Everyone pushes through. Ultimately, Rask is going to atone if they can get him to that spot. You know, if they lose in five games to Montreal in the first round because they gag on it, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Game 7 Stanley Cup Final, Game 7 Conference Final. They need it from Rask. This time he's going to come through.
I can't believe you're going to fall for that banana in the tailpipe.
This time he's going to do it. But when I hear this, I'm like, I wish I heard a little hair on his balls when he said, you know, it's like, I guess I should start skating then. So implying he hasn't touched skates in 3 months.
He's on the Jason Tatum program.
You know, and later on in this, I didn't pull it, but later on he said that, you know, he's been getting his exercise by golfing. He said, yeah, I've been out golfing, I've been out, you know, hitting it around. That's how I've been getting my exercise. Say what? But it was really, again, just that tone. Well, I guess I should start skating, huh? Like, no, there's just a Stanley Cup on the line, and you just, you know, paid millions of dollars, and you're the fortunes of the team as they come back here. Last chance to win a championship are riding on your shoulders. I guess I'll start skating then. I don't know. I just didn't like the tone. Go ahead, Jimmy, roll the whole cut, to be fair.
Well, I guess I should probably start skating a little bit if we're going to start playing hockey. I haven't been able to do that a whole lot, so... I just got my latest testing done today for coronavirus, and if that comes back in negative, I will skate Wednesday and 3 days a week going from there, and then we'll see what happens with the training camp. But, you know, a little bit working out and skating in the near future.
So, again,
that's annoying. But also, it's annoying, but it's not surprising considering this guy is tapped out of big games in the past. And I'm not saying he's tapping out of this. It's just, I don't think this is his main priority. Sochi Olympics, he taps out. Well, he had the undisclosed illness in the semifinal game, right? Against the Swedes.
Yes, sir.
The game against Ottawa. What was that, 2015, 2016? That last game, the all-important game, they win it. You know, they're in the playoffs. No, he had the poops, or maybe he had too much to drink and too many wings or whatever it was. Like, there was some speculation there. I just don't think that, and this can go for any professional athlete in their respective sport. I just don't think for Rask, this is his main priority at all times.
I'm choosing not to do what you did, Murray. I'm choosing not to do that, but I could easily. In simpler times, when that's all we had to worry about, I could go there easily. It's just his tone. He's so nonplussed. You know, he's just so level. And
it's Drew Bledsoeism is what it is. Like, you know, it's that, like,
maybe
we win, maybe we lose, whatever.
Maybe it's to his detriment. Maybe it's his strength. But it's just something like, I don't know. I just wish I heard
fire. How about a fire?
Urgency. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. When I heard him say it the way he said it, I guess I'll start skating then. I was like, ay, ay, ay.
Give me a little more than that.
I don't get it, though, because you got all over Jason Tatum for not having a hoop.
I know.
I was with you there, but what is it with this guy? You don't want to get blood anymore. You know, as much as you say you'd like to go back to a simpler time and deal with the blowing of the Boohoo Tuca crew, you don't want to.
This is who he is, okay?
And it's annoying.
I'm still learning who Tatum is, okay? But Rask is one of the best goalies in the league. He's on a, you know, he's going to finish in the top three in the Vezina. And he's one of the reasons they're going to win, not lose this time. And that's what I think.
Need all those stats. He's done so much with all those stats.
Okay, it's not the stats. He's looked good. He's been, you know, for the last 2 years running, he's been pretty much the best goalie in the league. He has.
Until the biggest moment.
He needs it in the biggest moment, in the worst way. He needs it in the biggest moment. But, you know, if he came out there and sounded like Tank Thomas there, if he sounded like, you know, I'm chomping at the bit. I can't wait to get back out there. We have a lot riding on it. I've been, you know, itching to get back on the ice. Maybe I've been on there. Maybe I've not. Maybe I've been sneaking it. But I've got to get back out there. And, you know, if he displayed this fire in the belly, that wouldn't be him now, would it? That's not who he is.
Chara packed his whole family into like a station wagon and drove all the way from Florida to get back here to start practicing because he's a lunatic. And that's why we love him. This guy. Maybe I'll get back to skating sooner or later, whatever.
So, are you worried about
him? I don't know which way is better with him, though. Because the fact is, if he's all geeked up and focused, chances are he's probably going to gag when it comes time because he's going to be putting too much pressure on it. I'll take this guy the way he is right now.
Exactly. I don't know exactly how to read it, except that it is, you know, there's a definite tone there of, all right, well, I guess it's time to start skating again. Like, he hasn't skated in 3 months. He says he gets his exercise golfing. He just had another kid, so he's been trapped at home like the rest of us. But he's got three little ones. He's got three little ones. And didn't he have a thing last year where he had to take that leave? So maybe, you know, like he got, now you're trapped in the house with that situation looming over your shoulder and another little kid, and you can't get on the ice. And it's like,
gotta be death.
Oh my God. What is he going to be when he comes back?
I hear his diet right now. So his exercise is golfing. Okay. So that comes with beers and cigars, and you just had a new kid, so you're not sleeping. Good luck.
And your wife still hates you like poison for whatever the hell happened, you know, last year. And, you haven't touched skates in 3 months. But nah, I guess it's time. I mean, give that to me again, Jimmy. I heard that tone. I'm like,
Well, I guess I should probably start skating a little bit.
Just a little. I hope these guys, and we'll get to the Tom Brady story. I'd like to think these guys are so chomping at the bit and realize, again, the Bruins in this spot, we thought last year was their last kick at the can. It turns out they're going to have another one. And it's their last chance. It's their last chance for their legacy. Might be Rask's last chance to change his legacy, change the narrative on the guy that couldn't win the big one. Here's his last chance. And I just hope that they're cheating it, that they've got the keys to the rink and they're going in there late at night when no one's watching and they're getting their work in. And I hope Rask is the same way, although I don't know. Based on his tone, it doesn't feel that way. So I guess it is time to start. Yes, Tukes, it's time to start skating.
This was refreshing.
Okay, there you go. Simpler times we could bitch about Rask. Simpler times we could sit here and say, when is he going to shard himself again? okay, so you can add that to the list. Back to your phones. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mads. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger in Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's the hardest part of this layoff, especially for a goalie?
Well, I think for everybody, it's just not being able to play hockey and practice your sport. I mean, our sport is pretty unique in that way that you can only play it in an ice surface. So just haven't been able to do that for 3 months. I think it's going to be the biggest challenge for everybody because it's going to take a while to kind of get your legs back underneath you. But, you know, everybody's basically on the same boat and nobody's really been skating. So not too worried about that.
Is that break going to help or hurt Rask? 3 months, 4 months. Holy crap.
There's a follow-up there, too. So, yeah, he's right. You know, if you play hockey, you know, it's not like you can make ice in your backyard like Maz. And it's the summertime, so it's hot. You got a skate trainer at home? You can put that in your living room. You've seen those, the thing you can throw down your floor. There's even those ones you can actually strap into and you can, you know, raise the level of it. Do you have one of those? You're still doing something? You jump on a treadmill. What are you doing? What are you doing to, like, stay fit?
He said it was golf. He said later on in the chat it was golf.
Yeah, that's great.
I don't think that works.
And he's got three little ones. Oh, he's so in the weeds with the little ones who are just painful. I say that even about my children. They're just little kids. Oh, God. Trapped in a house with little kids. And again, the wife who, you know, well, whatever. And he's, but I'd like to think the rinks are still operating, right? The rinks, I mean, Jacobs obviously didn't want to flip the bill to keep the sheet going at the garden, you know, for obvious reasons. That cost him like 75 cents a night. But, you know, like the Munis or some of these other rinks got to be open. Is Rustica still open? Is Warrior still open? I mean, what precludes you from pulling a Brady and just going there anyway and doing it? Because you're obsessed with your sport and you have to win and you're driven. And that's what I want all these guys. We'll get to the Brady story down in Tampa, but that's how I want them all to approach it. That's how I feel they have to approach it to get to where they've gotten to in the first place.
Yeah, but Felger, the ice is soft. Yeah.
Unless it's, well, I guess it's time to start skating again. All right, but the question of the day is, are you going to forgive baseball again, as you always do, or was this impasse here the last straw? Stephen Lynn. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Mike, what's up, dude?
How you doing, Steve?
Hey, Mike, Michael, ask a question. Mike, what about setting the ball guys, Mike? What the hell's wrong with this guy? Is it a comeback, Mike, or what? What the hell's wrong with this guy? What's that, the ball guys, Mike? About him? Mike, about setting the ball guys, my friend, for the Russell, Mike?
What's okay, going? Steve, I'm
gonna... I don't know what's happening.
Wow! Wow. What was that? How did that get through the screener?
You got me.
What did he sound like when you picked up Billy?
That's before he did that line of crank.
Oh, my goodness.
Sounded fine when we picked up.
Obviously.
Seriously.
Bill in Westford. Hi, Bill.
Prank calls happen.
Whoa. Just kidding. Hey, every spring, right, I forgive Major League Baseball. Then I sit down and watch a game. It breaks my heart again. I end up going to the Sox in two, and it's an emotional roller coaster.
So, again, this is having the sport having lost you before we got here. So maybe that's what that is, Maz. There are just people on the brink. There were people who, you know, just couldn't tune in like they used to tune in, couldn't invest like they used to invest, and now you have this on top of it. And so it's just sort of a, well, I didn't really like the game to begin with, and now they're going to carry themselves like this in during this time. This is how they're going to act. That's it.
Well, so look, again, most times, you know, and again, I use the term work stoppage because I think that's what this thing felt like. It felt like a work stoppage. It was a labor negotiation, which everybody hates when you're talking about, you know, athletes and owners making billions of dollars combined. So now most people don't turn away from the sport, at least not permanently, because of something like this. They say they will, but they'll come back. I just think that the sport's losing people to begin with, and even if it's 5%, if it's that's a big number.
That is a big number.
For one out of 20 says that's it. I'm done. This was the last straw. They can't afford to lose 5%. How can baseball afford to lose 5%? All the game does is spit in the face of its fans. That's all it does. Over and over and over again. You ask for a faster product, they say, screw you, I don't care, I'm doing it my way. You get the same crap over and over again. They never do anything for you. What does the game do for you? Zero.
There's only really one reason to watch. You know, I mean, a couple. And that is if your team's in it and you're just a sports fan. Okay? If your team is in it and you're a sports fan, you're... And you're old enough where, you know, if the sport means something to you, then you're in. Red Sox are contending, you're in. You have to be in. The Brewers are in, I'm in. Like, you have to. But you're not tuning in to watch the specific players. You're not tuning in to watch the game, per se. You may have it on or you may go because it's a beautiful July night and you want to sit out and drink some beers, or you have nothing to do with the kids who are driving you nuts. So instead of going to the zoo again or the children's museum, you go to the ball game. Or, again, it's a Tuesday night, nothing else is on. It's just on there as wallpaper in the corner of the room. But the game is not bringing you there. The players aren't bringing you there. It's just sort of the...
Background.
Or if your team's in it, and then, of course, you're going to watch. But there's no compelling reason to. And, you know, you felt that way before this thing. You felt this way before this thing. And now they carry themselves the way they've carried themselves. What are you going to do? Are you officially done? Jason in Haverhill. Go ahead, Jason.
So I agree with most of your points. And I guess I'm in the minority here in the sense that I'm a baseball guy. I'm actually I'm ticked off that they can't get an agreement done, but I'm actually drawn to it more because now with less games, each game is going to mean that much more, and you don't have to worry about crap baseball in April and in March that was in 20-degree weather.
So, Jason, it should be a compelling product. It should be. There should be tremendous urgency from everyone. It's a wide-open field. It should open it up to more mediocre teams to have a chance because anyone can get hot for 60 games. Or, you know, all you have to really do is get hot for a month and then tread water the second month and you're in.
Correct.
So, you know, anyone, any crap bag team could do that. So it should open up to the rest of the league. The players should be urgent. Every game should matter. Why am I worried that it's going to be just the opposite? That the players are going to half-ass it. They don't want to be there. They think the owners have screwed them over. A bunch of guys have already bagged. Some players are going to be paying for nothing because they've already gotten in advance. And the amount of games they're going to play won't even make up the advance. Or free agents think they're going to get screwed, and they are. And, you know, they're not going to allow themselves to be mic'd. They're not going to allow extra playoff teams. They're sure as hell not going to speed up now. They're going to take their sweet time even worse. Why do I feel the product is really going to suffer when it should be better?
Because, again, all the game has done is spit in your face and insult you. And so you're asking players now all of a sudden to change who they are and what they do. Like, it's just one of the things early on when I was reading stories about it. So I can't remember if it was Jeff Passan who wrote it or it was only one of those guys said, you know, the players have too much pride to tank the game on the field. Really?
Mm.
Based on what? Based on the 3.5-hour games I'm watching now? They have too much pride? They're asked to speed up, and they basically give you the finger and tell you to F off.
I mean,
no
so,
way.
I mean, what do you think Blake Snell's going to bring to the field this year? What do you think Trevor Bauer's going to bring to the field? Do you trust those guys to go all in, give everything they got?
No.
Even close?
No. And again, not to mention the fact that I think a lot of them have this, you know, because they've spent their lives in the game. And so this, they are drilled to believe that the game is measured over the long haul, that it's a marathon. So a lot of them are going to show up saying 60-game season. This is a joke. Independent of all the other stuff, they're just going to look at the 60 games and say, well, that's not baseball. Baseball's supposed to be played over 162, which, again, is part of the problem. The traditionalists are a huge part of the problem. That whole mentality is a big part of the problem. Traditionalism is what's bringing the game down. And yet these guys are going to show up and they're going to say, 60? 60 games? Like, independent of the money and everything else, how are we going to crown a champion in 60 games? Not recognizing that many people feel like the caller just felt. And he said, no, it has a chance to be better because there's no room to mess up. Now you actually have to play hard for all 60. Hmm. Now you actually have to try.
Okay,
you know, you can't just coast and say, I'm going to play hard for 6 weeks at the beginning and 6 weeks at the end. You can't do it that way anymore.
That'll be a theme all day long. Do want to mix in some football, and we'll do it after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.